And I said, "Well, Mickey," I said, "maybe the liquor would kept you alive." And he thought that was funny. He said, I never looked at it that way. You know, I said, "Well, so you never know."
Now, well, did you? So it was pretty much everybody knew on that team at that time that he was a real partier.
Oh yeah, oh,
did
definitely.
Did you ever have a few drinks with him?
Oh no, well, sure. Well, what happened? We would go into I'd go into a bar behind him. A couple times we went into a bar behind him, and they were leaving as we came. And one time Mickey put a 220. Hey, have a good time.
$40
Sure.
For
oh yeah. Oh yeah.
That was nice of him.
Oh yeah. Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. Real nice person. Mm-hmm.
And then was his body starting to go back then? I mean, his
Mickey. Knee. Yeah, his body was Mickey from the waist up, looked like a statue that you would mold. From his waist down, it was just terrible. I mean, you know, his knees and thing was, he had to be taped all the time. So he was in.
And did he?
If he would have been 100%. He probably would have all kind of records. You know, I would suspect that he had it almost every. They would be going after his record instead of Babe Ruth. Oh well. Mm-hmm.
Did you get to see him hit any of those towering shots?
Yeah, I saw him hit the home run where he tried to break his bat.
And what
happened
there?
He hit a home run. He hit a ball, popped the ball up. He thought he did, and he got so pissed off he broke his bat going to first base, and the ball went in the right field bleachers.
That's great. Yeah. And then of course Yogi.
Yogi was a great, great, good hitter. He ended up being a pretty good receiver. Good receiver. And what surprised me so was when Yogi became a manager, everybody that thought Yogi had changed, so everybody said Yogi had turned out to be a real bad manager. I mean, dealing with people. But as a player, Yogi was great.
Did he? I heard he would swing at balls that were way out of the track.
Yeah, he wasn't no such thing as anything he could reach, he'd hit. He didn't swing, he hit him. Yeah, it's different between swinging at him and hitting him.
Did you talk to him very much?
Not a lot.
You never got to hear him do a Yogi-ism?
No, well, yeah, you would. Oh, sure. He'd be standing around. You hit it. You heard that all the time, but you didn't pay that much attention, you know.
I heard, like, when I interviewed Mr. Paulette, he said that a lot of that stuff was made up by the press.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, you know, it was made up.
They wanted a good story.
Not a good. The stuff wasn't made up was Caseyism. The case, what they call it, the Stengelism. That's what I was trying. Stengelism, right? You know, you might ask Casey, you would say, "Hey, what kind of player you think Gunn is?" And when he finished with you, you forgot what you asked him. He would go all the way around and well over there, blah 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 blah, and you know.
The most famous one is when he spoke to Congress about baseball. And he talked for like 20 minutes. And then they asked Mickey, and they go, "What do you think, Mickey?" And he goes, "I just pretty much have to go with Casey." And no one knew what he said.
Right. Nobody had no idea what he said.
But
right.
They said he was a pretty good manager. Right. They said he didn't.
He was not. Look, I can tell you a story about Casey. I don't know anybody ever told you this or not. Johnny Blanchard, Cleet Boyer, and we were all back last year in New Jersey at a card show. And they wanted us to be interviewed, ESPN. I was on ESPN when they talk about Century, what fourth Century?
Mm-hmm.
It was Casey, and we were all there. I was there. And they wanted us to, we wanted to interview us about Casey Stengel. So Cleeton wouldn't, I don't think he did it. He said, "Well, I don't have anything to say about this so-and-so." Because Casey was not a good base players manager, period. You know, he was a media man. He was an ambassador. Now, this is Johnny was telling this reporter, he said, "Let me tell you what Casey did to me." He said, Casey told me, he said, I hear you can really hit." He said, "When I first came up," he said, "Yeah, I can hit pretty good, Casey." He said, "Can you catch?" He said, "Yeah, I can catch pretty good too." You know, he said, "I don't know whether I can catch and hit as good as Yogi and Esther." He said, "But I can." He said, "But can you really catch?" He said, "Yeah, I'm a pretty good catcher." He said, "If you can really catch," he said, "you catch that 12 o'clock plane to Denver."
He was just messing with you?
No, he sent him out. He optioned him to Denver.
Oh, this was
This is true. Johnny Benson, so this is a true story. He sent it to him. Yeah, you catch that 12 o'clock plane in Denver. Back to Denver. Well, he wasn't a good. You know, he hurt a whole lot of players' career.
I remember there's a famous quote where he walked up to some player and he says, "One of us just got traded to Kansas City."
It wasn't me, right? See, that's what I'm talking about, and that's the truth. Some of the things that he was saying.
Well, one of the things I heard is that he was really impatient with pitchers.
Yeah.
That if a pitcher pissed him off, he'd pull him right out, even if the guy's still
there. He was impatient with everybody. You know, I mean, he had such a good team. He proved that he wasn't that much of a manager when he went to the Mets.
You know? So how was it then? You saw him there.
Sure,
then?
I played with him. He was totally different. He was the big man. At the Yankees, the biggest surprise I got with the Yankees was I read about the great Casey Stengel. When I got to New York and I saw how the players talked to him, they talked to him like he was had a tail. "Get out of my face, you old blah, blah, blah," you know. And I said, "Well, you talking to Casey like that, you know?" And most of the time he's sitting in the dugout, and the game wasn't on television, in some cases he'd be having some sleep. I never forget, in spring training, he was standing up against a light pole and with his cap down on his eye, and they had a picture of him in the paper saying he was surveying his players. He was sleeping. You know, so Casey...
He was at the end of his career there.
Yeah, well, what Casey was good at was memory. He could, if you got a hit off a pitcher 5 years ago, he remembered that. But you could have managed the Yankees. All you had to do was know baseball. You just put Scowen at first Mick in center and Yogi behind the plate. That's the way that was. You know, when he came to the Mets, he was a big star. You know, we would go into L.A. and places like that, and you go to the hotel, a great big sign says Casey Stengel, and little small letters underneath it, and the New York Mets.
Yeah, well, that's why they hired him.
That's right. That's why they hired him. And we started to win so much, they didn't want that. You know, they called us the hapless Mets, and we drew like that. And then if we were going to a two-game winning streak, we were hurting.
Well, that's like they say that, I'll go over those other players, mm-hmm. but they say Marv Thornberry was actually a really good ball player. Yeah. Not too bad. And he goes through, you know, he's in history as one of the big knuckleheads.
That's exactly right, because of some of the things the case is saying.
Right, exactly.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Well, they said when he was with the Yankees, what really saved him a lot with the pitchers is that he had good pitching coaches.
He had good pitching coaches. Jim Turner and Johnny Sain. Johnny Sain was one of your better pitching coaches of all. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about some of those guys on the 64 Mets. I just wrote Ed Cranepool down because I met him one time.
Ed Cranepool, he was the first of the young assholes.
Really?
Yeah.
Kind of cocky.
He was a bonus baby. And Duke Snyder approached him one day about hitting. And he asked Duke, he said, "How much money did you get for signing the bonus? I mean, for signing." But I guess he changed after the years went on. But
he was, I guess, the only Met that was on the championship team that won in 69.
Yeah, all the time, right.
And then Ron Hunt.
Ron Hunt, good scrappy ball player.
How come he got hit by the ball so?
Because he didn't move. And that was his part of him.
I guess Don Baylor finally broke that record.
Yeah, right.
He just stood right next to the
plate. Yeah, right. He turned into him.
And that was back in the days they had no problem.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then we talked about the pitching on that team. Seaver didn't come along until...
He later.
You never played with him?
No, I played against him. No, I never
and
played.
Nolan Ryan, you never played against him?
No, no. I played against both of them.
You must have been amazed in 69 when they won the World Series.
Well, not really, because at the end... just before I got traded, they had a good pitcher in the minor leagues. They had Seaver, they had Ryan, and they had another guy named Gentry, I believe.
Gary Gentry.
Yeah. And they had McGraw was with us. Oh, that's another guy. What, McGraw was with him when he won the World Series, wasn't he? Tug.
I think so.
Tug. And, they had good... anytime you got good pitching, you can win. This was just like the A's. They got good pitching. They can win.
Now, Roger Craig was pretty much, Jackson and Craig were like the real
stars. Mainstay, right. Yeah. Well, right. Well, Roger was a star, but Roger was a star for losing most games. When he was losing all those games, he had the Rattlers following him around. He'd have every Rattler in New York following him around. And then when he finally won one, then nobody followed him around.
5-22.
Yeah.
They say you got to be a pretty good pitcher
to lose 22 games. Yeah, Roger was a good pitcher. Very good pitcher.
And then I noticed here Gil Hodge is at the end of his career.
Well, he was there after I left. You know, Yogi was coaching, and he played a little bit with me. Yogi they activated Yogi. Duke was a very good person, you know, and he's very helpful. That's what I told you. He tried to help Crane pool and, you know.
Kind what of, about the thing that he was afraid to hit against lefties, or was that?
No, I never know. I never heard anything.
And then we talked about Marv Thornberry, Roger Craig. Then you went to the Reds. How was it to see your buddy, Frank Robinson?
Well, you see, I was at the Reds before. I was in spring training.
Right, right.
Yeah, I was in spring training with him. When I left the Reds to go to the Mets. See, I was with them in 1962. In 1963.
Right.
I started the season with the Reds. I started.
Right.
And we had Vader, Frank, and at one time we had four guys, all of us from same high school with Cincinnati in spring training.
Starting.
Spring training. Oh. They had Vader, Frank, and I was there. Then Pete Rose was there.
I wonder if those four guys from McClyman's ever played together in a real professional game.
No.
Not the same thing. That'd probably be a record.
No.
Most guys.
Spring training. But not... No, because we all got traded away. Curtis went to St. Louis, and I went to the Mets.
And you were talking about Pete Rose. What was he like?
Pete Rose was great. Pete Rose, we call him Charlie Hustle. He was really great. And Pete Rose liked to hang around with the black players. And a guy named Phil Sagan and his father told him, you got to stop hanging with the black players too much. Start hanging around with the white players. Pete told him in so many words, F yourself. That's why I know he won't. He's always been a gambler.
Was he a gambler then?
Yeah, we all gambled. We all played the dogs and everything. No, I'm talking dogs and horses, whatever it was. And Pete was very stubborn, very competitive, and he will never give in. He will never give in. And he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Why you think he'll never be in, because he won't admit that he bet.
I don't know whether he bet on baseball or not. Now, Roger Craig told me he did. Now, I don't know how true that is. But I do know he's supposed to be in the Hall of Fame. You know, you got the Hall of Fame was started by a lot of racists and stuff like that. Ty Cobbs and all of them. You know, you got a whole bunch of guys, Chris Speaker. All those guys allegedly supposed to bet on games and all the stuff like that, but they're in the Hall of Fame.
Hal Chase
or whatever, right. Yeah, you know. And you see, it's a big secret. I don't know whether you know whether they thought they called Babe Ruth a nigger.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, you know.
Spike Lee.
He's black. So it's because of his thick lips and nose and the pin legs and he could run, you know. And
he had a lot of quickness that they didn't.